So we've got a long way to go, and we know we can match up with the best.
With the current climate, this is just the way you got to do things at times.
With the concussion rules, I think some players wouldn't be telling them, though. There'd be players out there that are going, I'm not going to risk missing time.
When a guy remains at a club, then can be incredibly encouraging for the future.
We want to do our bit to ensure that the games go ahead.
We've been really inconsistent. Good football clubs and good football teams don't do that.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
Yes, welcome one, welcome all to the Sanctum today. Today we do head to RSCA Park at Moorabbin to catch up with one of the new players, one of the champs of the Saints. Brad Crouch is a new member of the team for us this year as well. It's great to have him with us. Crouchy, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
How was the trip back from WA?
Not too bad. We came back Saturday night, pretty straight after the game, so it was a bit of a long trip back and didn't get back to probably 2 or 3 a.m. on Sunday morning. So, but yeah, it was good to get home.
When did you leave?
On Saturday night.
Yeah, no, sorry, to go there, to get there.
The week before, straight after our game in Melbourne. Yeah.
Oh, of course you did. Yeah, you were there for a week.
Yeah, so we went across as soon as we finished our game at Marvel Stadium. We went straight to the airport and left. So it was. Bit of a whirlwind for everyone.
Are you getting more used to that? Is it getting more comfortable, that whole routine of having to spend somewhere because you're dirty, according to COVID protocols? You're a dirty team, having to go and spend a week somewhere?
Yeah, it's a bit like we've done it now a couple of times this year in Sydney as well. And we're sort of getting used to it. It's been okay for me. But it's definitely hard for some guys, with families and stuff as well, that it's a short notice a lot of the time as well. So it's... it's been a tough sort of year. You don't sort of know what to expect.
When you found out the news about Rowan Marshall not being able to play because he was at the precinct just having a cleanser off the wood.
Nightcap.
Just a little cleanser. Did you ask him if he really enjoyed it? Because he really needed to miss that game.
Yeah, the poor bloke. I felt pretty sorry for him because, obviously he went to the rugby and just, that's the thing. You've got to be careful now going to them. Events when they do open up and that again. It was pretty bad for him, the poor bugger. He only got back last night and, he's been over there in quarantine by himself. So it'll be good to have him back this week.
That's the problem, isn't it? I mean, he's so important to you. Was there a sliding doors moment for you, Brad, where you've been close? Like, obviously things are starting to get a little bit better here in Victoria, but where you might have been in a place the day before, or you might have gone to the rugby in a different set of circumstances, or have you been kind of sort of flying under the radar?
There's been a couple of ones. Like for me, I live really close to the Southland, and there was a shop at Southland Coles, and there was an exposure site there. I go there 2 or 3 times a week, and I got really lucky with that. Because I didn't do the shopping that week. I think there's a bit of, because at the end of the day, you're going to miss that next game. So it's pretty cutthroat, if you do find yourself an exposure site. But, hopefully now it's calmed down enough here that there's not too many.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And I think that's the case for everybody, because I know even in here we've got... We've had scenarios where people are in isolation just because of where they've been, not because they're sick or anything like that. So have you had to, or at St Kilda, sort of remodel the way you do things a little bit and sort of to take the risk away and get other people to do the shopping or those sorts of things? Or do you kind of feel like you've still got to live your life?
Yeah, we've been encouraged to still live our life, but at the same time we've been told pretty strictly that we've got to be very careful about where we're going. It's pretty hard too, because especially when you come out of lockdown, everyone wants to go out and have a feed or, go and do stuff that we haven't been able to do for a while. I think it's only natural everyone wants to do stuff. So, it's more about just being in places where there's not too many people and not big crowds and stuff, because it can obviously be costly, like the weekend with Paul Rowan.
Yeah, exactly right. And the last one on that, just in Perth, what were you able to do for the week? Like, was it a scenario where you were kind of locked in your hotel room, or could you still play golf and do bits and pieces? What were you able to do?
Yeah. So it sort of changed a little bit for us. We were at Jundaloop, like it was the resort there. It's sort of caged off. Like it's actually got like massive fences around it. So even to the golf course, we couldn't go.
Ring of steel.
Yeah, you look through the fence at the golf course. You feel like a prisoner. But we can't leave the resort at all. We couldn't have left the resort at all unless we train. And then there was a bit of a period of time when we found out about Rowan that we all had to stay in our rooms for a bit of time as well. And that was the same after the game as well until we got tested. So you sort of just sit there. The only thing you look forward to is when your breakfast or lunch rocks up, there's not a lot else to do. So it was a bit different.
That doesn't sound like much fun to me, I must admit.
Yeah, it wasn't much fun, to be honest.
So I imagine, is there an element of when you get out there training and playing, when it's all on the line, that there is a burst of energy, or are you lethargic because you've been sitting around doing bugger all during the week?
Yeah, I reckon a little bit of both. There was a bit of times where we were a little bit lethargic last week, and there was other times where we were happy to get out and do stuff. So you can see how it can have an effect on different teams at different stages. There's been plenty of teams, like Sydney have been on the road for a while now, that have had it a lot worse than us as well. So it's sort of, and they seem to be really embracing it well. So you just don't know whether it has a good impact on your game or whether it can sort of be to your detriment.
So I know you've got to move forward and look towards tomorrow night because you're playing the Blues on Friday night footy this week. But the game last week, you're 33 points down midway through early in the third term, and you get back and you lose by 8. What was the conversation post game about the opportunity that perhaps was lost, or where you lost that game against the Eagles?
Yeah, it was pretty sad. The same sort of thing as the last couple of weeks. We've had our chances, and we sort of just not making sides pay at the moment. And the weekend was a little bit the same. We had a lot of chances where we could have got ourselves back in the game even earlier than what we did, and we sort of blew them again. So, this year it feels like we've had a lot of games where we've lost close games or lost games that we should win on paper and stuff, but we're just not sort of embracing them big moments and finding ways to kick goals when we should. So, that's probably been more the conversations at training, the meetings in the last couple of days.
I'm just interested, Brad, in your own role and how that might have changed just a little bit with Luke Dunstan coming in, because Luke missed most of the first half of the year, and he's come in, he's playing a role, he's getting a lot of the footy, and we see you at times sort of playing as that sort of half-forward role and then back into the midfield mix. Take us through a little bit about what's changed for you since Luke's come into the team.
Yeah, it's changing a little bit week to week for me as well. It's sort of been a little bit dependent on personnel, and Luke's been sort of playing on a player as well, on the best inside mid from the other team most of the time as well. So it's at times I've been playing, like last week I played a fair bit on the wing and forward as well. So sometimes you can for the week before I played a lot inside, so it's sort of changing week to week depending on who we come up against, and it's been good trying to play a different role, and there's plenty of guys that can go through the midfield as well, so it's been good.
And it's quite dramatic, the difference. I mean, you can go from sort of playing a more a role-playing type role where, as you said, that happened last week where you might only get 20 disposals, and then the week before you've had nearly 40, and you and Jack have kind of, or I should say Jack Steele, because you've got about 28 Jacks in your team, but Jack Steele and yourself get nearly 80 disposals between you. So that unpredictability of having more guys to be able to run through that midfield, I would imagine, is a benefit.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's all part of, you see a lot of the best set teams are like that. They've got a lot of role players, and different players play different roles week to week. And we're trying to really promote that at the moment at the footy club. I think Seb Ross this year has done a lot of that, where he's playing different roles every week. And so we want to share the load as much as we can and all try and play different roles and do different things for the team. If it's playing on a wing, playing half forward, I think it's good for the development.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was a performance on the weekend in your team that stood out heads and shoulders above the others. Max King's game was off the charts, Brad. He's been talked about a lot. He's clearly a prodigious young talent, but things didn't go his way early in the year, and there's a lot of conversation about him and the way he played and how he did it and all that sort of stuff. How did he go with all of that at the time, and is he a guy that, how many guys have you seen with his talent in your time and having a moment like that? Is this the catalyst? Is this the launching pad for him as an AFL footballer, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think I remember saying to you guys how good I thought he was a while ago in the pre-season, and I probably didn't realise how good he is. With him being so young as well, it's pretty scary in terms of what he could do. I've probably been seeing him train really hard and do things at training where you feel like he's just about to break out and have a game like he did on the weekend, and it was awesome to see him get some reward. His contested marking was pretty ridiculous. I think he took 8 contested marks or something.
And yeah.
He's now kicking the ball really well at goal. And confidence is also, a little bit underrated as well. It's amazing what you do when your confidence is up and the ball's coming in nice to you.
He was off the charts the way he was marking the ball. It was one of those situations where every time, as a fan watching the game, every time it went near him, you knew he was going to clunk it. Like, that very rarely happens in modern footy.
Yeah, that's the thing. Especially now when there's so many players. And he's playing up against McGovern and some amazing defenders as well. Virtually just, he's so tall and his arms are so long that he gets the first crack at it most of the time.
What did you tell me about Leo Connolly? He's a guy I want to see the ball in the hands of more often. He is a beautiful user of the footy. What's he like around the footy club?
Yeah, he's a ripping kid. He uses the ball beautifully, both left and right foot. I think the last 2 or 3 weeks you're starting to see him. We're trying to get the ball in his hands as much as we can because he does a lot with it. He's a beautiful kick.
Because I reckon he's one of those players in the last couple of weeks, Whitey, that's really stood up too and announced that he's going to be a long-term part of this Secura rebrand.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is the thing that's happened this year, Brad, that you went through that sort of lull mid-year, and a lot of that had to do with personnel missing. But you're continually finding players to the point now where you've got a fairly deep list.
Yeah, exactly. We've spoken about that a little bit. It's been a year where we've had to change and adapt to different things all the time. Like which feels like every week we're having different players with injuries and stuff. That's probably the one real positive that's coming out of it is that we've found a lot of young players and opportunities come to a lot of young players. And I think a lot of them are, really embracing it and loving it.
So let's have a look at things at the moment as it stands. You're only 2 points outside the top 8 at the moment with 4 games to go. I'm just interested in the health of your list and where some of the bigger name players are at that are out of the team. Obviously, Rowan Marshall will come back this week, but you've got Dan Hannabury. I think Hunter Clark's not far away. Where do you think you'll be over the next couple of weeks with the availability of close to your best team?
Yeah, I think next couple of weeks will be pretty close. We've still got, I think Hannes is going to play again this week probably in the VFL. He trained really well yesterday. Hunter Clark is available for selection this week, which is good. Jack Sinclair's going to miss this week with a little hammy, which doesn't help. But I think we're probably going to get three back this week, and then maybe. Maybe another couple next week. McKenzie as well is another one.
Do you think you're better placed to do some damage between now and the end of the year than perhaps you were earlier in the season? Do you feel that you've got through that rough patch and this is a team that can get back to where you thought they would get to when you decided to go to St Kilda at the start of the year?
Yeah, definitely. I think the last probably 6-7 weeks of work, the body of work that we've done, we haven't won all the games or anything, but the way we're playing now is pretty good and pretty strong brand of footy. And, we've had some really strong wins and played some really good patches of footy. I think that's with, personnel that's changed big time. So it gives me a lot of confidence that we can do some damage in the next month or so. At the moment where it stands, anything could happen. So we're just sort of trying to focus on week to week at the moment hopefully that gets us to where we want to be.
So, Half, just to emphasise what Brad's talking about, just from a a selection tonight. Higgins probably available, Clark available, Highmore available, Marshall available, and McKenzie available to come back.
Might be a few changes.
Yeah, so that just shows that that injury list, which was expansive only a few weeks ago, is really starting to reduce, which, you know, outside of Geary, Gresham, and Carlisle, maybe throwing Battle and Wood, they're looking pretty good health-wise.
Blues, Swans, Cats and Dockers to finish the home and away season for the Saints. Looking okay, as you said, just outside the eight at the moment. Crouchy, we've been talking all year, but Monday it sort of stood out for us more than most weeks. We're looking at the number of uncontested marks that are going on in games at the moment, the way that teams are controlling the tempo of the game, owning the footy so the opposition can't score. How big a part of modern footy is just having the ball in possession rather than trying to score all the time when you've got it?
Yeah, it's definitely, I think, this year you've noticed it happen a lot more and teams are starting to do it a lot more. It's obviously, we chat about it a bit because, you know, we've probably had to adapt to that as a team a little bit. We weren't a real kick and catch side at all, and we've sort of had to adapt to that and change our game a little bit, so I'm a bit more like that. It's probably not a great spectacle as well, where the ball just, especially when it doesn't go anywhere, when it sort of goes one side of the ground to the other and stuff, it's a bit tough to watch. But you know, a lot of teams are doing really well with it. I think Geelong are probably the ones that do it probably the best. Port Adelaide do it really well as well. So you know, some teams are playing really, really solid footy with it.
So is that the philosophy, just to take it away from the opposition and just not let them have the ball? I mean, is that the whole foundation of the process?
A little bit of that. I think a lot too is it gives you time to set up your defence behind the ball a lot of the time. So if you kick and catch and slow the ball down, you can then set your defence up behind the ground so that if the ball does turn over eventually, that you're in a great position to defend. That's another one. They're probably the main two.
There you go, Whitey. I've got the answer for you.
I don't like that, Brad. I like it when you play that free-flowing footy, and I know I'm probably being a bit of a romantic, but I just feel that most teams, but even particularly your team, is that's when you're most dangerous, when you're really playing that offensive brand of footy. And I think some of the best footy you played even against the Eagles were when you did get down to get back into the game, you had to actually score, and that was when you were the most dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's we love playing like that as well. And so it's also really hard because if you do move the ball fast the entire time, that means you can't set up your defence, and when you do turn it over, she goes back pretty hard the other way. So it's really hard to find that balance of, you know, when you should attack really hard and when you should slow it down a little bit and take the sting out of the game a bit.
Have you had a history of playing teams that are under the pump in the media and they come out and perform really well? Because you've got the Blues Friday night, tomorrow night, which is to kick off round 20, and they have been in the press for all the wrong reasons, certainly on the back of the performance last week. Have you had history of teams in this situation that come out and fire that you're a bit wary of?
They've got a pretty good history of doing that normally, the Blues. They sort of tend to bounce back pretty well. And when Teggy took over a couple of years ago, that's exactly what happened. So, yeah, we're going to be pretty wary. They're going to be pretty wound up, I reckon, and we're going to make sure that we are too.
Yeah, well, that's something that Secure the fans off the SMS are keen to see as well. Make sure you are fully wound up. I think you get a bit of confidence out of what happened last week late in that game against the Eagles, and if it can get some players back, Whitey, as you say, and get off to a good start, then it's a fairly good chance to be an entertaining game of footy tomorrow at Marvel Stadium, mate. Always appreciate your time on the Inner Sanctum, mate. Good luck. Go get them tomorrow. Don't go too well, but go well for yourself, and we'll see what happens tomorrow night at Marvel Stadium.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Good stuff. Brett Crouch with us, Saints midfielder.